You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 3, episode 14 tonight. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. John, we have a star-studded lineup to say the least tonight.
Yeah, cracking lineup. We are back with a bang this show. We've got four great interviews lined up, Kieran, and we're going to kick off with Ian Morris from Shelburne.
Yeah, the Shells manager, one of several managers to be hit with lengthy touchline bans this season. So I've spoken to Ian, it was an interview we recorded yesterday, about the possibility of cameras being installed in League of Ireland dugouts, because that is something that's been raised recently, and I also spoke to him about the possibility of a manager's union being set back up in Ireland.
Any cameras in the dugouts, there'd be some X-rated shows, I'd say, Kieran.
Yeah, who else do we have on tonight, John?
Well, I'm really looking forward to speaking to Junior, and he's had such an interesting past career. You could almost say a lower league journeyman, yeah. In the English leagues.
Spell in Cyprus,
played for Lewis, home of the famous dripping pan ground.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. That's one bit of research I've enjoyed learning tonight.
Yeah, and scored a lot of goals and got spotted by Colchester, who signed him up, and he now finds himself on loan at Derry. And he had an absolute storming performance against Harps there at the weekend, and robbed of a sensational goal as well.
Yeah, and we've just recorded that one with Junior, and he's given us an exclusive on his potential future with Derry City, so stay around for that one, Derry fans. Chris Bennion, the Bohemians goalkeeping coach, he joins us on the show tonight. We've got Chris on, obviously, off the back of James Talbot's Ireland call-up, and of course, Chris worked with Shane Supple last season when he was called into the Ireland squad, John. So a very, very good time for the Bo's goalkeeping coach. He's having a great start to his coaching career, Chris.
Yeah, Chris Bennion's making a bit of a name for himself at producing these goalkeepers that are going on to getting the Ireland squad. So I think he's doing his coaching badges as well. So he could be on for bigger and better things.
And finally,
Dan Cleary from Dundalk. Played quite a few fixtures this season, despite a lot of competition around that defensive area for Dundalk. And, he's done nothing wrong so far.
And there could be more competition to come. Reports there linking Andy Boyle with a potential return to Dundalk. But, John, let's kick the show off. We'll have those interviews to come throughout the night. And we're going to start with the defending champions, Dundalk. They had a big slice of luck in the 90th minute again this week. A 1-0 win over St. Pat's.
Yeah, a real scrappy goal that decided this one late on. And Pat's didn't do too bad this match. And indeed, it probably had a decent chance from Mikey Drennan. He headed over after a good work from Simon Madden down the right. And, if that had gone in, it could have been a very different match, Kieran. Mm. After that, Dundalk started to take a bit of control of the match. McElhaney coming to the fore a lot more in this game. He had a good run, actually, but he shot at the keeper when maybe he could have done better. Duffy had a shot deflected wide in the second half, and then he also shot wide from another great ball from McElhaney. Kelly had a wide when time was running out, but in the injury time, like we say, real scrappy goal from Sean O'Neill. Not so sure he knew too much about
it. Yeah, I think it may have been Webster that was trying to clear the ball away for St. Pat's, and he's basically kicked the ball straight into the back of Sean Hoare. It's hit off him at the perfect angle, and it's flown into the top corner to send Oriel Park wild, and to frustrate not only St. Pat's fans but Shamrock Rovers fans, as Dundalk kept their lead at the top of the table. Were they fortunate overall, or did their general play deserve those 3 points, John?
I think so. I think they just maybe lacked that last cutting edge, really. Paddy McElhaney was at the centre of everything good from them, but I think another day they could have put 3 or 4 in. But Pats did okay defensively.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Pats. I think they came with a game plan. It wouldn't be their normal sort of game to set up and defend and try and frustrate a team. But that's what they came to Oriel to do. And they almost pulled it off to perfection. Unfortunately, a huge slice of luck goes in Dundalk's favour. But look, that's the sort of things that happen in title races, and we'll have to see how their rivals bounce back.
And it's a super run Dundalk are on at the moment. They're they're really going well and piling the pressure on Shamrock Rovers.
And with Rovers not playing this weekend due to postponements in the league, big chance for Dundalk to get a space between themselves and Rovers at the top now when they play Sligo Rovers at Oriel on Friday, and that will be in our previews later in the show. Let's talk about Shamrock Rovers now, John. They had a comfortable 2-0 win over Cork City. You got this one spot on in the St. Mel's prediction game, so I have to give you the points this week. You're 8-4 up on me now.
8-4. It's a drubbing again, Kieran. It's looking
actually,
that way.
It's actually 9-4 because you're getting double points for calling a 2-0 in this one.
Right, very good. I'm always gonna take them when they're given. So happy days. It was Trevor Clark who was running the show early on in this game. He was causing serious problems down that left, and he hit the crossbar. Although to be fair, I think it was a cross.
Yeah, but he was superb again on the night, wasn't he? Those attacking runs, getting dangerous balls into the area. And he's really come into it since he's come back into that team. Obviously had a long spell out through injury, but he's finding extra yards every week now, getting stronger and stronger. And he's going to be a huge threat for Rovers as the season goes on.
Yeah, I was disappointed with Cork in this one. They didn't offer too much
I think we expected that though, John, didn't we? We've seen it recently, as we say, Cork, they've been beating the teams that they should be beating now that the change of management's come in there, and they're trying to play a little bit more of an attractive style of play, so you have to credit the new management team for that. But they were totally outclassed when they played Dundalk. We had a feeling the same might happen here against Rovers, and it most certainly did. Rovers very, very comfortable on the night.
Yeah, they got a lot of joy down the flanks, and the opener came from Joey O'Brien after a pullback to him. He opened the score in 1-0.
Beautiful finish from O'Brien.
Yeah, it was a great finish, wasn't it? Yeah. Picked out the corner nicely. McNulty, he saved a header, but the second goal came from a corner, and Cork's inability to pick up Lopez there at the far post cost them. And
dreadful marking.
Yeah. It was poor from them. And that was 2-0. Burnford Clark, he shot over on the counter. Cork really very little attacking threat, to be honest. And 2-0, the right result on the night, Kieran.
Down to the RSC, Waterford 1, UCD 0.
UCD's awful form continues, Kieran. I think that's eight defeats on the bounce now.
They're not scoring goals, John.
They're not scoring goals. They're making mistakes at the back. And, you've got to be asking questions now. They've got to have to do something quick.
You've got to be worried at the moment.
You've got to be worried.
I think this break is coming at the right time for UCD. It gives them time to regroup.
Is the pressure on Colley?
No.
You don't think
so? No.
Well, I have to say they're in awful form. And Waterford have a few good standout players. One of them put them ahead. It was Zach Albuzetti who put them Waterford ahead. There's a shot rebounded very kindly to him to make it 1-0. Corey Galvin, we've talked about him quite a lot the past few weeks.
Yeah, stepping up in the past few weeks.
Yeah, he had a shot saved. JJ Lonnie blazed over after a good pullback. Albuzetti forced a good save from Cairns as well in the second half, and Lunny should have made it 2-0, but he shot straight at the keeper. And then Akinadi, he had a chance as well, which Cairns saved. But overall, this was dominant performance from Waterford, and a lot more comfortable than the score.
Should have been 3 or 4-0 to Waterford, in all honesty. Poor performance from UCD. And as we said, you just got to hope they use this break now to regroup, because they're in dire need of something to go their way in the coming weeks.
I'm struggling to see a way out of this for UCD currently, Kieran. They're going from defeat to defeat, individual mistakes. They look powder puff up front. Any hope for them?
You could easily be describing Finn Harps there as well, John.
Well, it's
much of a muchness at the bottom.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a battle between them.
Just like the title race, a lot of people are saying it's going to be decided on the head-to-head meetings between Rovers and Dundalk. Don't necessarily agree with that, but the head-to-heads will play a huge part. Down at the bottom, the head-to-head meetings, they will most definitely be the decisive factor in who stays up and who goes down. We'll move along to the next one. Bohemians, their title dream is dead. They lost at home to Sligo Rovers 2-1 at Dalymount Park.
Yeah, we're going to call this one the Acca Buster. We had a few of our followers. We know we like all the home wins, and they were all in. And Bo's let a couple of the lads down that had all home wins.
It was Jason from Limerick that was dropping a few tweets that he was cost big money. So
yeah, 9 out of 10 results were home wins, and that one just let them down. But probably the red card for Bo's cost them in this one. But a couple of bad injuries in this match, Kieran.
Overshadowed the game, really, didn't
it? Yeah, it did. Dinny Corcoran, broken bone, foot. Yeah. He could be out a long time. And the question for me is, who replaces him, Kieran?
I think you have to dip into the transfer market. I know there's some good, talented young players there. Ali Regba hasn't really had much of a run But his future is up in the air a little bit. Ryan Swan, again, he's a player that's lacked minutes this season. He's coming back from a very nasty injury, not played a lot of football in recent years. I think you have to dip into the transfer market if Bowes can afford to do that at all.
Yeah, they are in danger of slipping a little bit here.
But then again, it's never that simple. I mean, who do you go and get within Ireland that's as good as Dinny Corcoran?
Well, I think every club is looking for that that striker, you know. So, look, we'll wait and see. And an unfortunate collision at the other end. So,
sick man.
Yeah, Dante Leverock stretched it off. Such a shame because he was really settling into League of Ireland. And I know you were heavily critical of him early in the season, but he's come back well as Dante and looks a real presence in that side of defense.
But the good news is he seems to have recovered quite quickly from that. He was up back on his feet a couple of hours after it. So you'd be hopeful that he might miss too many games if he misses any at all.
Yeah. McGinty's saved well from a couple of shots. A couple of players that we've highlighted on the show. Mandrew, a snapshot that McGinty saved well, and then he saved well from Conor Levenston. It was a good first half, despite the lack of goals.
18 minutes out of time as well. I think a lot of people described it as that. It was a strange game.
Yeah. Second half, well, Romeo Parks came to the fore, and he's starting to play with some confidence, Kieran.
Yeah, he's starting to hit the net with a bit of regularity now. I think he's got 6 for the season and 2 excellent goals in the second half here.
Yeah, you can really see he's starting to get the confidence and starting to believe in himself. And his first goal was a nice run and lovely finish across the goalkeeper.
Yeah, but I think if he hits that one cleanly, it doesn't go in. He's actually kind of scuffed it a bit off his ankle and down into the ground, and it's gone across the goalkeeper and into the bottom corner. I just said it's a great finish. Doesn't matter how it goes in once it goes in, but I think if he hits that flush, I think the keeper has a better chance of saving it, believe it or not.
I'm giving him the credit for that. Nicely picked out into the corner. Sligo, however, they couldn't clear the lines later on, and Conor Levenston, he struck home to make it 1-1.
And then, some were critical of the goalkeeper for that one, but I think the sheer power of the shot beat him there. It was a great strike from Levingston. He's a player a lot of people have highlighted this year.
Yeah, I'm not going to be too harsh on the keeper for that one, Kieran. I think it was a good driven shot to make it with the equaliser. Oh, Pender, straight red card.
It's unfortunate, really, isn't it? You can tell from looking at it, he hasn't gone in with any intent to do that at all. He has his eye on the ball, but he's got it horribly wrong, and it's a red card that's cost Bowes dear.
It's dangerous play, the foot's high. You can see by the ref had no option.
Oh,
really.
No option, yeah. But
yeah, but then a lovely ball from Coughlin fed Parks. It was great, super skill from him, and a finish to match.
Yeah, you've got to give credit to Sligo for that. But at the same time, you've got to give credit to Bowes. They were down to 10. Maybe they were a bit naive. They pushed on trying to win the game. Yeah. That goal came off a Bohemian's corner. They were countered from their own corner kick. So Bowes, they tried to win it. They had chances to win it, John. The highlights really weren't that in-depth, but there was numerous opportunities for Bowes to go and get that second goal and go 2-1 up. They didn't take it. Sligo get them on the break. Job done away from home, but even Liam Buckley said on Between the Stripes TV after the game that he was scratching his head as to how his team came away all 3 points.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that Bowes don't fizzle after such a good start to the season, and I'm hoping that they're keeping them
European
places.
Football is everything to that club now this season. It would just transform the fortunes of Bohemians.
Yeah. It's a club I'd love to see go back full-time, but
there's no fear of that in the next few years. They've got to tighten the purse strings a little bit with the redevelopment of Dalymount Park. Obviously, they're going to have to play a couple of seasons away in Tolka. That brings unique challenges to the club. You're going to lose the massive revenue they make on match day in the bar. So you can understand Bowes playing it safe after being burnt before from that full-time setup. But look, it's been a great season so far. They were very unlucky to lose 2 games this week. They could have easily won both of them. They could have easily got draws from both of them. To lose both of them was extremely unlucky the way they've played. The big question now, as you've pointed out, can they recover from the loss of Dinny Corcoran, and how do they go about doing that? That's going to be the big question for Bowes. So maybe our Between the Stripes listeners, if you've got any feedback you want to give us on that, is there a striker out there in the league? Maybe down in the first division, there's a couple of strikers scoring goals. Could someone step in and do a short-term job for Bohemians? Give us a tweet at Between Stripes or drop us a comment on facebook.com/Between the Stripes. But John, to the derby, it was Derry and Harps, and Derry, they pasted Harps 4-0, and we're going to hear from Junior in a couple of minutes now.
Yeah, well, this was as one-sided as it comes, Kieran. And you know, Kieran Harkin will get all the plaudits for the hat-trick, but the man who created everything in this game, and I can't wait to speak to him, was Junior. Yeah. He was excellent on the night, Kieran.
Electrifying. We've highlighted him three or four shows in a row now. He's been absolutely brilliant this season.
Yeah, he might need to work on his penalty taking, though, a little bit, because it was his cross, and the big man Parkhouse was bundled over for the penalty. Junior hit it straight at the keeper, but he's very lucky because it was parried straight back to him and he put the rebound in.
Does he get an assist for that? He set himself up. No.
I'm not giving him that. I'm not having that. He was denied probably the goal of the season with the overhead kick.
What was the referee thinking?
I don't know. Why on earth would that be ruled out?
Even the referees seem to hesitate given the decision. So if you can't be 100% certain, you give the goal.
I've no idea how it was ruled out.
Maybe he got some guidance in his earpiece. We don't know, but gutted for Junior because that would have been a goal of the season.
Yeah, it would. So we'll ask him about that. Yeah. I'm sure he's just as gutted as that. But look, he won a free kick on the edge of the area, and Kieran Harkin smashed it in 2-0 that stage. Second half, Junior was at it again. He had a shot cleared off the line after a massive goalmouth scramble. Harkin scored again as Harps, they're dithering about in the box. And
the Red Sea parted at the back of Harps. They were dreadful.
It certainly did when Harkin made it 4-0. And, what can I say? It might not just awful from Harps, Kieran. Taking nothing away from Derry, they were very good.
Yeah. I think we'll go and speak to Junior now, will we? Because we're very excited for this one.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, Between the Stripes listeners, we're delighted to get Junior now, the Derry City on loan player from Colchester, on the line. So we're absolutely delighted to be joined on the Between the Stripes LOI podcast for the first time this season by Derry City sensation, Junior. Junior, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
So I suppose we have to touch on first the fact you're on loan at Derry, Junior, from Colchester. Has there been any talks in recent weeks about maybe extending that to the end of the season, or where do you see your future over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talks about obviously staying to the end of the season, and like, I'm happy here, I'm playing and everything's good, so yeah, why not? There's talks, and I think both clubs are close to agreeing terms, so yeah, I'm just fingers crossed to see what happens.
Excellent stuff, because you're a player that myself and John have highlighted on the last three or four shows, some very, very eye-catching performances in recent weeks, and I think it's fair to say, you mightn't be allowed to say this because you might get yourself in trouble, but we'll certainly say you were robbed of one of the goals of the season at the weekend.
Yeah, I was devastated. Devastated. Watching it back as well, I just thought, I didn't think it should have been disallowed. But yeah, it happens in football, doesn't it? You score some goals and get taken away from you. But yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it was great performance. I think you created most of the goals against Harps. And really, if you get to stay at Derry for the season, it'll be good for you. Because it's fair to say, looking back at your career so far, Junior, you've seen quite a lot of clubs.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of different places, travelled about, and yeah, I'm happy to be at Derry now. I was very happy.
Yeah. Going back to your career, I suppose your first big break was you played a lot in Cyprus there for Limassol. Do you want to talk us through how that move came about?
I think at the time I was at Lewis and. Yeah, I was at Lewis and I was playing, doing well at Lewis, and I think at this time I had like a family emergency stuff, so I think I went to Nigeria to like just sort out some stuff, and my mentor, the person I work with, said to me, look, coming back, I've got an offer for you in Cyprus, like the club here wants to see you and like see you play and just come over for a trial. So literally went over there for a trial and done well and signed. I stayed there for a season and a half and it was a very good experience. Won the Cypriot Cup as well. That's very good there.
Can I just ask you, from your time in Cyprus, Junior, it's a league a lot of people have made accusations about. Did you see anything untoward in terms of maybe match fixing in your time in Cyprus?
I didn't see any match fixing, like, nothing to it. I mean, I was once approached saying, if you won this game, like if you win this game, like I'll reward you with this or that or whatever. But I feel like that's more of a motivational thing and not I don't think that's class as metrics. And
no, it's just there's been quite a few players from Ireland. There's been quite a few players from Ireland that have gone across in recent years, and it's whispers that we've certainly heard. But it's fair to say you've been up and down the non-leagues. What was your favourite stint at? I think there was maybe 10 non-league clubs or so there in your career.
My favourite club, non-league wise, or my favourite spell, non-league.
Favourite non-league club that you played for.
I would have to say, obviously, Morden, because that's where I got the most success, at Morden. Morden Victory scored a lot of goals there. And my first non-league club, Averley.
Yeah.
I would have to say, Morden and Averley.
I'd say it's fair to say... That's where you were spotted first at Maldon, and that's where you got your big break and signing for Colchester there.
Yeah. At Maldon and Tiptree, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, like the manager, Kevin Warlock as well, he was great with me, like, superb. Yeah. So, helped me, made everything easy for me, and I just done well and scored goals.
Yeah, very good. And what have you made of Derry? Are you enjoying your time there so far? Are you enjoying the city and the team you're playing with?
Yes, it's different. It's like it's very good though. Like everyone in Derry are very friendly, so yeah, it's just been easy for me to settle in and enjoy myself. Like it's been good.
Yeah, we're fond of Declan Devine. Seems like he'd be a very good manager to work for.
Yeah, like literally, all you ask for is just work hard and play and just enjoy yourself. So it's like very easy to play with, like under Declan. It's so easy. So it just makes it easy for everyone and you don't feel as much pressure whilst playing under him. Like it's very good. Like everyone's enjoying it.
And just in terms of the standard, have you been surprised by how high the standard is in the League of Ireland and how would it compare to training day in, day out with a football league club like Colchester?
I'm surprised because I mean it's top league in Ireland, isn't it? So I wouldn't say I'm surprised with the quality. Like coming here, I was expecting it to be physical and tough and like good pace. I wasn't expecting it to be easy, but yeah, I'm just happy I've settled in well and hopefully I can push on and keep doing better and better.
Is there anything in particular that has taken you by surprise coming into the league?
Yeah, like when I first came, it was the like full blood mentality. How, especially in training, how it was back then. Like it was just wholehearted. Like everyone putting everything in training, kicking, slide tackling, just literally putting everything in training. Like so, I was surprised because usually, I don't know, maybe other places I've been to, training wouldn't be as much contact, like it wouldn't be as much slide tackling or full-blooded tackles, and that was just, it was a massive surprise. But yeah, I'm just happy I settled and got used to it.
And look, final couple of questions, Junior. Obviously, Derry into the EA Sports Cup semi-final now, so if you are to stick around, I'm sure you'd love to get a major honour like that on your CV.
Home draw against Waterford, so
yeah,
just looking forward to it, and yeah, hopefully I'll be around for the game and hopefully we'll win that game as well.
Yeah, Derry the most successful team in League Cup history, so Declan Devine will be looking to add that to his record again. Final point, a bit of a break now in the league due to the call-ups at underage level. You've gone over to the UK yourself for a little break.
Yeah, I'm here seeing the family and yeah, just relaxing, but yeah, I'm obviously going back tomorrow and back to work, preparing for the next game, which is a week from now against Shamrock. So obviously we've just got to keep preparing and stay focused because we have a little break. I feel like other teams are going to obviously win their games and get ahead. So we have to obviously stay fit and sharp and just be ready for the next game.
Brilliant stuff. Junior, been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thanks very much for taking time out of your trip to speak to us, and hopefully we'll speak to you again later in the season.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Junior.
Cheers, Junior.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
On to the First Division results from the weekend. John Breyer, Bray 2, Wexford 1. So again, Wexford making it difficult for one of the bigger sides in the division.
Yeah, and Danny Furlong with a goal again for Wexford.
Did you see it?
Nope.
Oh, go and have a look. Yeah, he's given
belter.
He's given it a little Croy flick at the front post. Made a run across the defender, little Croy flick into the bottom corner. Beautiful.
Surely a team's got to come in for him at some stage, Kieran.
You just wonder if he's one of these players you often see in the First Division. He's with Wexford. Is that through convenience? Maybe he has work and responsibilities, etc. down there. Because he's a player I've seen this season. He's fit as a fiddle. He scores goals. He's everything you'd want in a centre forward at that level. Why he's with Wexford, maybe it's just simply true convenience.
Yeah. You can't help thinking that he'd be an asset to somebody like Waterford, even if he's living down that neck of the woods. But sorry, Wexford fans, we won't sell you a prize asset for you. Derek Daly with two goals for Bray, but certainly not as one-sided as we thought it might be.
No, Bray, a little bit like Shelburne, I suppose. They're not blowing opposition out of the water like many people thought they would with all their big signings, but they're grinding out results in recent weeks, and that's important in this First Division, because just keeping in touch will do your team a lot of good, because the results are very, very inconsistent in this league. So if you can get any sort of consistency going, you're going to stand a chance of at least making the playoffs this season. Drogheda United, they've been the team going under the radar in recent weeks, John. They're scoring goals for fun. The top scorers in the First Division at the moment. A 3-0 win, home to Galway.
And that man Lyons with two more again in this one. He's scoring a fair few this season.
That's 5-2 now.
Yeah, that's crazy. And Adeyemo with the third for Drogheda. Disappointment again for Galway after that win against Longford.
They're a young team. They're going to have inconsistent results. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, you put them with that group down at the bottom.
There's no chance of playoff there. They're just far too inconsistent.
Limerick played this match. The first team played this match. Obviously, the money went into the accounts. And,
for now, it's sorted, we'll say.
Yeah, and it was.
I wouldn't say we've heard the last of that situation somehow.
Yeah, Conor Ellis with the winner against Cabin Teely, whose season seems to have hit a bit of a falling off an edge.
No more than Longford. They've hit a bump. Hit a bump just like Longford did. But for Limerick, you have to give absolutely unbelievable amounts of credit to Tommy Barrett and his players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to come from being on the edge of strike action to go out and beat high-flying Cabin Teely, fair play.
Unbelievable, yeah. And Limerick, just like Drogheda, they're going under the radar this season.
They are. I know we were talked about them at the beginning of the season as possibilities for, you know, playoffs.
I didn't fancy them at all, to be honest.
No, you didn't, because obviously they come down and lost a lot of their squad, and we wondered who was scoring the goals. Well, they're scoring plenty of goals.
Yeah, and if that man Ellis can get going, can get a run of games, a run of goals going, he can be one of the top strikers in this division. So keep an eye on him the next few weeks. But well done to Tommy Barrett and the players. Excellent result for Cabin Teely. They'll be looking to bounce back at the weekend. Where are we going next? We're going to the El Clasico. Longford Town 3 at Lone 1. John, absolute dominance from Longford from start to finish. Could have been 5, 6, 7 in that second half.
Yeah, let's be honest. It wasn't the greatest of matches though, Kieran, was it?
No.
Longford took the lead through a Sam Verdon penalty. The equaliser came. It's almost a bizarre equaliser. It was like a cross-come shot. Well, shot that just diverted into Dean Williams' path. And we know he's been scoring plenty of goals this season. You can't give him too many chances.
I suppose when I say it was total dominance from start to finish, Athlone obviously did get an equaliser. I actually thought in the first half, Athlone played some very, very good football. I expected them as the away side, coming in with such a bad run of form, to come to City Calling, sit in deep and try and frustrate Longford. That wasn't the case. In the first half, they actually went and played some very, very nice football. Williams looked dangerous at times for Athlone. But in the second half, Longford came out, they upped their game 5, 6, 7 levels. The pressing was absolutely phenomenal from Longford in the second half, forced that loan into mistakes, and as they said, only for their goalkeeper, could have been 6 or 7.
And I don't know what they put in Dean Burns' halftime cup of tea, but first half he was poor, second half he was unplayable
here. Nutmegs, double nutmegs, sticking it into the bottom corner from 25 yards. He was brilliant.
Yeah, got both the goals as Longford ended up 3-1 winners, Kieran.
To Tolka Park, the Between the Stripes match day live commentary game. It was myself and Lee Stacey on duty. Shelburne running out narrow, 1-0 winners. Cove, they can feel slightly unlucky to come away and not getting something from this game.
Yeah, one of Shell's big hits is Ryan Brennan with the decider in that one.
Yeah, it was the first time in the entire first half we just seen Cove switch off. They allowed Callum Moore to turn on the edge of the area. They dropped off him thinking maybe he was going to take a long range shot. Instead, he's lifted the ball over the top, right onto the penalty spot, really. That's where Brennan was. And Paul Hunt, he was good on the night, but he probably can be blamed, fault slightly for that goal. He's come flying out. He hasn't got there in time. And Brennan's just flicked the ball with his head over Hunt and into the net. A sloppy and soft goal for Cove to give away because they were very, very good on the night.
Yeah, manager downbeat after the match. He thinks he's writing off their playoff hopes.
Yeah, I spoke to him after the game for Between the Stripes TV. He said, we're done now with playoffs. We're going to use the rest of this season just to bed in young players. So disappointing from a Cove point of view because they do have some very, very nice players.
Yeah.
Kabia and Fernandez were absolutely brilliant. I'd keep an eye on them, definitely big time. And their fullback had to go off, Kevin Taylor. He was the best player on the park in the first half, had to go off injured. That wasn't helpful to Stephen Henderson and Cove.
What about Shell's big name players?
I wasn't impressed with Shell's on the night. I thought it was a very average performance. But again, the thing with Shelburne is they have players that can score goals. And we've got that in Ryan Brennan. You've got that in Kieran Kilduff. So even when they're not playing well, they have the characters and the experience in that team. They can pop up with a crucial goal and grind out a result. That's what they've done all season in this first division. We just have to see now if Longford can bring their A game to Talca Park, will it be enough for Shells? Can they grind out a result against a team like Longford?
No, that's going to be a cracking one this week. Brilliant, I'm looking forward to it.
Where are we going next, John? We're going to our first division previews. It's time for the St. Mel's Brewing prediction game. Our sponsors, stmelsbrewing.com. Check out their website. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter. And make sure you pick up a fine bottle of their craft beer, brewed here in lovely Longford, and always drink responsibly. Let's start at Ferry Carrick, Wexford against Drogheda.
Well, Drogheda just seem to be on form at the moment, don't they? And I think there'll be too much for Wexford there. I just think that they're scoring goals for fun, and although Wexford have the in-form couple of players, I just think Drogheda will be too strong for them.
Yeah, if you asked me this one a couple of weeks ago, I probably would have found it very difficult to call. But as you said there, Drogheda are scoring goals for fun in recent weeks. Their man up front, Lyons, has been banging in the goals. Wexford, whereas they're relying very heavily on one or two players, Furlong and Doherty.
Yeah.
So I think Drogheda will go there and win. But Wexford have made it very, very difficult for the big teams this season. So let's see, can they continue and maybe get something from this game?
Yeah, they won't go down without a fight. Athlone host Limerick, Kieran.
Athlone, they haven't won since March. They were extremely poor in the second half against Longford. But they were good in that first half and they played nice football, as I said. So they're on their home patch here. Good 4G surface. Look to get it down and play. Whereas Limerick, I think Limerick are a little bit more of a direct side than some of the other teams in this first division. So can Athlone play around them? I'm not so sure. There's some big experienced players. I think Limerick might be just a little bit too physical for Athlone. I think they'll go there and they'll get the job done. Might be tighter than people think though.
Yeah, I'm going for a Limerick win as well. I just think Athlone were a bit flaky at the back. And to be fair, they've got a lot of what I call League of Ireland journeymen in that team, that have played at a number of clubs, never really settled down at one club and taken a chance, like taking the bull by the horns and made a real career at one club. So, yeah, I think they're going to continue to struggle, and I'm going to go for a Limerick win.
Cove against Bray.
I have to say, you know, Stephen Henderson's comments, you know, he sort of waved the white flag a bit in the playoffs.
Can he be blamed, though?
It's realistic, but, you know,
my concern for Cove now is attendances.
Yeah, well, exactly. You say, no, we just need to get on a good run, maybe win 5 out of 6, and we could be, you know, banging the door up there again, but
then people call him deluded. So you can't win as a manager, really, can you? I suppose it's not his job to worry about attendances, but you've got to worry that they've basically said their season in terms of league football is over. If they can get a cup run going, that's great. But you would worry. And obviously Bray, with all due respects, aren't going to bring the biggest away support in the world, even though they're having a good season. So maybe that's something to keep an eye on this weekend, is the attendance figure at St. Coleman's.
Yeah, it won't be great, I don't think. And I expect Bray to go there and win.
It's a difficult pitch though, John. Can Cove, they know, as we said, they've admitted now their season's over, so they know what they have to do, I suppose, just be competitive in every game. Can they put it up to Bray?
I don't like that though, Kieran. I think they should be saying, look, We're so many points off the playoffs, but let's give it his best shot. Let's try and put a decent run together and get something. You know, surely the manager's got to be trying to motivate them and maybe make a push. Plenty of football to be played, yeah.
That's not what I asked you.
Right, okay.
Do you think they can put it up to Bray?
Having said all that, probably not. But no, I think Bray will win this one.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to say that Cove will surprise everyone and get a win out of this game.
Okay, fair enough.
Galway against Cabinteely.
Yeah, interesting this one. As you were saying, Galway inconsistent. Cabinteely just had a little slip. And I'm going to go for Galway in this one, Kieran.
Wow, big call. Call there. Are you basing that off their performance in the win against Longford, or do you see a weakness in Cabinteely?
I don't know.
A bit of both?
Like I said, with the Athlone bubble bursting, I just think Cabo, that 5-0 result, that trouncing they got a couple of weeks ago as well, might have put them on
shook up that defence a little
bit.
Yeah,
just giving them a bit of something to think about.
A bit of the jitters.
Yeah, who knows? But look, they're going to need a good performance from Vinnie Fahati et al. To beat Cabo.
I wouldn't agree with you on this one. I think a little bit like Limerick facing that loan, I think Cabinteely might be just too physical for those Galway lads. Mm-hmm. Still a very young team. They're going to get inconsistent results. Bar that result against Longford at home, their record has been dreadful. And obviously they play Longford then on the Monday, so will their manager maybe look to rotate slightly for this game? We'll have to wait and see. I think Cabo will go there, and I'm going to say a win, but they'll come away with something, in my opinion.
Okay, final one. It's the top of the table clash. It's Shells at home to Longford Town.
Yeah, you'll be hearing from the Shelburne boss, Ian Morris, any second now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. But as John Breyer says, absolutely huge game at the top of the First Division. It's first place, second. Longford coming in off the win, the back of that win in the El Clasico. Shells coming in with 3 wins under the belt. What way do you see it going, John?
Oh, God. Am I going to actually say this? I'm going for a home win, Kieran.
Really? What are you basing that on?
I'm just thinking that Shells are on good form at the moment, and I've just...
Not playing overly well, though.
No, but they're getting the results, and I think Longford just struggling a little bit. I think they're struggling for wide men. I think they're maybe lacking a real creative midfielder. And somebody putting the goals in, and I think the Shell's defence will be more awake to Dean Byrne than the Athlone defence will be. You know, he won't get away with the runs and tricks he got away with against Athlone.
No, you've made valid points there. Yeah. So I just wanted to know what you're thinking.
And I hate tipping against my own team, but, you know, and especially such a big match. Yeah, thanks for that, Kieran. But I had them down as pre-season favourites, and I think they might edge this.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just wanted to know what your reasoning was. I definitely agree there is issues at the moment with wingers at Longford. I think that's an area they're going to have to address. Mm. You think they're struggling for goals? Again, I'd agree. I think they need a striker brought in the transfer market. Shelburne, they have the best striker in the division, Kieran Kilduff. They have Ryan Brennan, who's scoring a lot of goals this season.
So you can see my logic.
I can definitely see your logic. I think that the one thing, I'd nearly need to wait and see a team sheet before I can make a prediction on this game. For me, the big decision is going to be whether Ian Morris starts with Conan Byrne or James English. Now, for me, Byrne is still finding his fitness and his best form, whereas English, any time I've seen him this season, he's been sensational for Shells. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really, really good talent. He's way too good to be sitting on any bench in the First Division. So if English plays, I think he could give Longford trouble. If he doesn't play it, then I'm going to call a draw.
Okay. So what are you calling then?
I'm going to call a draw.
A draw. Fair enough. Okay, so neither of us tipping our own team. We've gone with head over heart, have we?
That means Longford's definitely going to win.
Hopefully.
Look, let's go and hear from an expert now instead of these two spoofers. It's the Shelburne boss, Ian Morris. So I'm delighted to say the Shelburne manager Ian Morris joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Ian, you're welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. Hope you're well.
Yourself, Ian. Look, obviously a big game coming up in the First Division on Friday. Top of the table clash between Shells and Longford Town. But first, obviously it's a game you're going to miss out on. Unfortunately, you've got quite a lengthy touchline ban, Ian. Obviously, you can't go into too much detail around that at the moment, but it is a discussion we're seeing around the league at the moment. Lengthy bans for a couple of coaches in the league, and I know there's talk of maybe managers looking to see the installation of cameras into the dugouts. Have you any particular feeling on that topic, Ian?
I'd definitely be on the side of having them around the dugouts. I think it gives clarity to everyone on exactly what happened, and it's not just one person's word against another. So for me, I think it'd be a positive.
And there's some talk that there might be a manager's union set back up in the future again. Is that something you'd be happy to see?
Yeah, definitely. I think the wheels are in progress for it, so hopefully that gets pushed through sooner rather than later.
Very good. And just tell us, how many more games are you set to miss, Ian?
I have two. So Longford and Bray for ourselves would be the two for me.
Okay. And it's something I've often asked players about, and no one can really ever give me a definitive answer. But do you think the manager not being on the sideline, does it have any effect on match day?
It can and it can't. You do a lot of your work during the week, and you set things up and you prepare as best you can. So it can, sometimes when you want to get a message on and you can't do it straight away, or you're further away than you normally are, that can be frustrating. But that's when you trust in your staff and everyone's prepped and know what we should be doing and where everyone should be. So it's all about having trust in your players and trust in your staff that everything you're looking to be done is done on time and done properly.
Yeah, and I was there Friday night, and there definitely didn't seem to be any issues with your coaching staff getting messages across. So, as you said, I'm sure you have faith in the lads there. But look, let's look at this game now against Longford on Friday. Obviously, as I said, it's a top of the table clash. Your lads are coming in with three wins under their belt in a row. Longford coming in good form now after a rocky few weeks before that. Is it going to be a tight one, Ian?
Yeah, 100%. I think you look at the top of the table, there's 4 points between six teams. I think that tells you everything you need to know. One win, you could move up three or four places, and if it defeat and other results go against you, you'll go down them amount of places. So everyone's set up well. Everyone has just kind of got into what way they want to play. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. Obviously, like you said, Longford have had a couple of tricky results, but we all have during the course of the first 14 games. So it's something we'll be preparing. We'll be preparing for Longford to be at their best, and as I'm sure Neil will be preparing for us to be at our best. So it'll be an interesting matchup Friday.
Yeah, and look, it's something myself and John spoke about on the show last week. Usually at this stage of the season, traditionally, you'd start to see the field levelling out a little bit, and you'd have an idea who your top three or four teams might be, and you might have a cutaway at the bottom. That doesn't seem to be happening in the First Division this season. It's very, very competitive at the top. As you mentioned, from first to sixth, there's very, very little between the teams. Do you think we might see that tightness the whole way through the season? Because there doesn't seem to be an awful lot between some of the teams in the division this season.
No, that doesn't at all. It's just, like I said, if you can put a run together and you keep winning, that's all you can focus on, because you've seen games come around very, very quickly. Like you play each other, we're only in the second phase of games, so the teams you're playing against that are in and around you are so important. And for us, our next three are massive. We've got Longford, Bray, and the Drogheda as our next three games. So that's it. These are a massive three games for us. And I think what I'd be focusing on is if we can pick up maximum points there, it takes points away from the teams around you, and it also gives them to yourself. So that's when you'll see the gaps appear, and it'll be the same with everyone else's round the games. There's always a few around each other where you end up playing the teams that are going to be there or thereabouts, and that's what dictates kind of the gaps opening up or the gaps closing.
Well, I have to say, I wasn't actually aware that's Shell's next three games, so that's exciting times for Shell's fans over the next 3 weeks or so. But overall, Ian, are you happy with how the season's gone so far? I think most would say that maybe it started a little bit slower than some expected, but obviously you're coming in as a new manager, a lot of new players trying to bed in at once, so maybe that was to be expected.
Yeah, I think so. And also with the quality of the division this season, I think you're seeing teams at the bottom that they're really good teams. They might just not have that final bit of quality, but they certainly, if you're not on your game and you're not taking your chances, they'll punish you. Like we've seen Cove last week. Cove has some fantastic young players, and they can easily punish you if you're not performing up to your maximum. So you're top of the table after 14 games. You've got to be happy, but I still don't think we've peaked. I don't think we've hit our top form yet, which I'm hoping it happens sooner rather than later. But I think once we get there, we've added that bit of the consistency into our game now. I think the structure of what way we want to play and keeping clean sheets is being massive for us. Where I think at the start of the season, you were seeing us getting punished for errors, where I'm looking at other games and you have keepers throwing balls off strikers' heads and they're not getting punished for us, where even at the game down at Longford, Dino made one error, made a judgment to throw a ball out and we got punished for that. And that was the key at the start, where I don't think we were getting punished for little errors and no one else was, but you're starting to see that the table's turning on that.
Yeah, and I suppose the big thing that a lot of people will point to when you're looking at the Shelburne team at the moment is that you have players that can pop up with a goal at any moment. Kieran Kilduff and Ryan Brennan have been superb in recent weeks for the Reds, so I'm sure you're looking for the experienced players to come to the fore again now on Friday night.
Yeah, 100%. I think we've been unlucky with injuries. We've had quite a lot of injuries this season, and you finally see players getting into their form, and then they might get knocked back, and then you're waiting for them to come back and take their form and get their fitness back up again. So that's one area where we have been unlucky. We've been forced into some changes, and form has been a big thing to get players to hit their peak, and it's just about continuing and plugging on. But we're just lucky that we've got a good squad, and lads have stepped up when needed. You're seeing players that have had to bide their time, but when they're asked and they're called upon, they've stepped in and they produce the goods. So that's testament to the players' desire and the competitiveness that we have in training week in, week out.
Yeah, and I'd imagine you have quite a few players knocking on your door during the week. James English is one that's been on the bench in recent weeks and has been very, very impressive when he's come off. So maybe he might have be calling to you this week. But look, final couple of points, Ian. Longford, I spoke to Neil Fenn during the week and we spoke about Longford's record in Tolka Park. It hasn't been the best in recent years. As the home team manager, do you point that out to your players at all, or is that something that... It's just
I'd never look at it, to be honest with you. I never look at what records are from previous seasons. You look back at videos of other games, and you look at videos from the start of the season to videos now, and teams they might set up differently. They might be playing a different way. They might have different players that are in the team from now than there was at the start of the year. So it doesn't affect me in the least. We prepare for Longford on their recent form, as I'm sure they're doing with us, and we'll look to capitalise on where we think we can hurt them.
And finally, that playing surface is in immaculate condition at the moment. I have to say, Tolka Park, it's looking as well as it has in many years. I was very impressed with it when I was up there on Friday. So again, I'm sure you're looking for a big home support. I know the more passionate supporters have been in the main stand over the last couple of months with the closure of their usual spots. So the atmosphere at Tolka has been fantastic recently. I'm sure you're looking for that to continue and ramp up another level now for this big game on Friday.
Oh, 100%. It's been brilliant. I actually think that the fans over are behind the dugout, and I think the acoustics has been very good, where it does seem louder and the fans are singing, and it adds to the atmosphere, and I think it drives the tempo of games as well. The players feed off it, and like you mentioned, the surface is fantastic. You can pass the ball properly on it, you can move it quickly, and that's what we'll be looking to do, as I'm sure Longford will be looking to pass the ball as well. So look, top of the table clash on an immaculate Tolka Park in the summer. I don't think anyone can not be up for the game.
Yeah, and it looks like there'll be a big away contingent as well, so it should be a great advert. So anyone in the Dublin area Friday night, Tolka Park is the place to be. Ian, thanks very much for joining us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and we'll chat to you after the game on Friday.
Anytime. Thanks, Kieran. Take care.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie. Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
So, time to predict the games in the Premier Division this weekend, John. A reduced fixture list because Derry versus UCD and Waterford against Shamrock Rovers are off due to the international call-ups, and we should also know, very disappointing news to see Neil Ferrugia ruled out of that Irish under-21 squad through injury.
Yeah, real shame, because he's he's such a talent, isn't he? And he's played well in those underage matches he's done so far.
Yeah, look, his time will definitely come because, as you said, a brilliant, brilliant talent. Just before we go any further, I just want to touch on two transfer stories, or two transfer rumours, as you say. Sean McLaughlin from Cork City been linked with a move to England. But the big one, of course, Andy Boyle. James Rogers reporting today on Twitter that he has offers from Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk. He's weighing up both of those offers and is expected to make a decision very soon. If you were Andy Boyle, where do you head for?
Well, the obvious one is Dundalk because he's played there, he's done that, and he's got European competition coming up in the form of the Champions League.
Will he get in the team?
Well, I think he would. I think you'd have to slot him straight back in. He's a quality defender, isn't he?
Who would you drop then? Or are you going to go with the old tried and tested partnership of Boyle and Gartland?
I think so, yeah. I think if they sign him, then they'll go with that. It's very difficult because they've centre-backs that are good. You know, the likes of... that are getting most other League of Ireland teams, like Sean Hoare and Cleary. You know, they've some quality at centre-back.
How do you keep those players happy, though?
That's the tricky one, isn't it? Because...
you've got Stephen Fallon there as well.
Yeah.
He hasn't kicked the ball this season.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, you could probably be thinking of a move out for one or two if he does come in. But I don't know. I think that's the obvious option. Plus the Champions League as well, you know, and those European nights at Dundalk. But then again, there's Shamrock Rovers, of course. They're not seeded in Europe, so they might not get as... they might not get a couple of rounds through them, but you know that it's whichever team he goes to, it's going to be great to see him back playing League of Ireland.
Yeah, it's hard to know. It could just come down to circumstances, like we said with players earlier. It could just be maybe Dublin suits him, so Tala there, nice and handy, and guaranteed first team football.
Kieran, it's not far to Dundalk from Dublin.
I know that, but look, will it come down to money?
Well, I think it could. Yeah, I think it could, and you know, at the end of the day, he's going to be, you know, where he's guaranteed first team football as well.
Look, that's a lot of if, buts and maybes. So we'll move on from that, and we will preview this weekend's games. Starting at Dalymount Park, Bohemians against an out of form Finn Harps.
Yeah, well, Harps have been pretty dreadful recently. They had a little bit of a good run, didn't they? And but they were awful against Derek here, and it was as one sided as you can think of was that.
Big letdown in a derby game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really. I mean, they just didn't turn up, and They gave Derry far too much space with their players, and they got stuffed.
As for Bohs, can they bounce back from their disappointing week and from the loss of Dinny Corcoran?
Yeah, just be a little bit worried as to who's going to step up for Dinny. We know they've got goals coming from midfield as well. Their attacking midfielders are very good.
Could we see some sort of false nine, maybe playing Mandrew up there? Obviously, you have.
I was thinking that. You have Ali Regba as well. So they've a couple of
more of an out-and-out striker, Regba. So he might be the one to come in. But then again, he hasn't played a lot of football this season. So
No.
It's difficult for Keith Long, but at least he has options there.
Well, he does. It's not like we're saying, you know, he's going to have to pull somebody out of the under-19s or something.
And even if he did, there's probably some talented 19s at that club.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've seen plenty of him doing that. But, you just think without Corcoran's going to be a big miss. You know, he is the pivotal centre-forward.
I still fancy them to beat Harps.
Yeah, they'll still beat Harps. They'll get a Mandrew screamer or something, but they will beat Harps, yeah.
Okay, and before we go any further, we're going to hear now from our third guest of the evening. It's the Bohemians goalkeeping coach, Chris Bennion. So our good friend of the podcast joins us now on the line. It's Chris Bennion, the Bohemians goalkeeping coach. Chris, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
First things, you okay?
Good to hear from you, Chris. A great week for you. You were the man that was working alongside Shane Supple last season when he was called up to the Ireland squad. And this week, a bit of a bolt out of the blue, I think it's fair to say. James Talbot now is in the Republic of Ireland senior squad. You must be absolutely delighted for that young man.
Yeah, I'm after thrilled from us. As I said, the hard work he's put in from day one. It's been second to none, his attitude and his work ethic, and he totally deserves all the credit to him for, as I say, he's been an absolute pleasure to work with. It was the same last year when I had Shane. Obviously, the call-up came out, the blew a little bit, but again, the two lads have been fantastic to work with, and it's a pleasure as a coach that you can have that working relationship with them and even drive yourself on to maybe raise your own standards and make sure you're not shortchanging them. So all credit has to go to the two lads. As I say, Supple last year, he got the call up. I said he was fantastic. And I said, this year, James has been an absolute pleasure to work with. And when the gaffer brought him in, he hasn't looked back. I said, as I say, from day one, his attitude and his work ethic, and he's been fantastic around the club. So long let me continue. And as I say, that's a fantastic reward he's just got getting into the actual Irish setup. So delighted for him, absolutely delighted for him.
I think, Chris, one of the things you could say about James, he's probably been the most consistent goalkeeper in the league this season. You know, what is you know, very little mistakes, you know, you compare him to other goalkeepers. All down to you, I take it, Chris?
Yeah, I think he's, but as I say, he plays on the front foot, and he's one of those goalkeepers that tries to bail his defence out. He's coming for crosses, he's very commanding. He's lightning fast around the box. His distribution's excellent, and as you say, consistently every game, he's been fantastic. But obviously, yeah, there's one or two games you might look at, and one or two goals you concede, and he's not happy. We sit down and have a chat about it. But like on a whole, all the goalkeepers in the league, I think at the moment, he's streaks ahead everybody, and I say that just goes down to being consistent week in, week out. To be honest, he sets the standards himself, and he sets it for the rest of the other goalkeepers at the club. And he's fantastic with the young lads as well. So it's, as I say, it's long may that continue. And obviously, if he can come back from the next 8 or 9 days when he's been away with Ireland and kick on again, it's only good for himself, good for the club, good for the young lads as well. So let's hope that we'll obviously bounce on for the rest of the season.
And just to clear up, Chris, will James be released for the game at the weekend from the Irish squad? Will he be allowed to play in that game?
He will be back probably tomorrow. Training, I don't know what we'll do. We'll see how he feels when we get to training. He will be available for the game Friday. And then he is released back with the Irish squad. We have no game against UCD the following week, so he'll be with the Irish squad all week. So
very good.
But he will be back with us for the game Friday.
That's excellent. And look, unfortunately, a couple of very disappointing results in recent weeks, and they were the sort of games where it could have gone either way for Bohemians. A kick of a ball in both games was all that decided it. And if you get two wins, or maybe even a win and a draw, you're still banging the title race. But is it fair to say now, after two defeats in a week, that Bo's title dream is probably over this season?
And the lads have been absolutely fantastic all round. I said that we've got, in my opinion, we've got a fantastic squad. Every position is covered, and everybody's pushing each other. For the last couple of weeks haven't been result wise haven't been good, but like if you look at the performance against Sligo, even when we're down to 10 men, there was only one team really looking to go on and push on and play football and push on to win. And fair play to Sligo, they dug in deep and defended well, and then hit us with obviously a smash and grab type of win. But we had to take it, and the lads were positive for the chat about it. And as I say, up in Dundalk, obviously, I think it's been well publicised, the two penalties in the last minute when we played them up there. And but you look at the squads we've put in, you look at the gaffer, he's got so much faith in the players that he's putting out. As I say, some of the players in the squad, it's frightening to think some of them are only 18, 19. And then against Cork there on Monday, we put, young Rossi came in from the 19s, scored in his debut there and done well. Young Dawson came on. So it's all credit to the work that the gaffer and Trevor and, as I say, Craig Sexton, etc., are putting in with the underage. And if the gaffer thinks you're good enough and deserve a chance, he puts you in. And I say it's a fantastic feeling for a young lad, that knowing that the manager's faith in you. And it's a game we probably had to win against Cork. And it just shows you the faith that he has in with the team that he put out, made a few changes, and we've got a positive result and a positive feeling about the squad again and getting back to winning ways.
One unfortunate from that match against Sligo was the injury to Dinny Corker, and I understand he could be out for quite a long time. Give us an update on his injury.
He's broke a bone there. We'll have to see how it goes. It's one of those injuries that you can set weeks or on it, but you never really know until he gets another assessment. Well, it's just a massive blow, obviously, to the lads, because Danny's a great lad to have around, and he leads the line fantastically. So, it's a blow. But look, we've got players that are going to come in and step in and hopefully, as I say, take their chance and start performing and knocking the goals in for the team. So it's unfortunate, as you don't like to see. So hopefully it's a speedy recovery. But then hopefully the lads coming in can step up to the plate as well, which I've no doubt will be the case.
Mm. And look, I don't know how big of a part you play in recruitment, Chris, as in your role as goalkeeping coach, and obviously the transfer window is still a few weeks away, but with your main goal getter now out of the team and no day on a return, do you think Keith might be tempted to dip his toes into the transfer market for another striker?
Yeah, well, that's up to the gaffer. Will have a look at, obviously, when the window opens. Keith's got an unbelievable eye for talent. It's scary, the names that he dishes out on his board and etc. He's always proactive and having a look at players and thinking ahead, and I've never seen anything like it, to be honest, when not whatever club I've been at. And it's the players that we signed this year, these were all toured on the gaffer's board in the last pre-season. So how he does it, I have no idea, and it's fantastic how he as I say, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does himself and Trevor. And as I say, the how to keep rebuilding and bringing players in of that nature, and it really is fantastic. And as I say, there's a great feel with Boz. I just feel obviously kind of privileged and thankful that I'm as a kind of part of that. And as I say, touch wood that the club keeps continuing building on the way it is. So we'll see what happens in the transfer window. I'm sure the gaffer got one or two aces up his sleeve that he might be looking at.
You'll have to get us a picture of that board. It could be quite interesting. But look, final question, Chris. Obviously, you've done extremely well since you've stepped into the league as a goalkeeping coach. Your first job was at Athlone Town, and you've worked your way up now to Bohemians, where you're doing extremely well. Where do you see yourself going in the future? Are you happy to stay at the level you're at, or are you looking to progress to a higher level? And maybe do you even see yourself as a manager in the future?
I think of the temperament, to be honest. I'm more than happy doing what I'm doing. As I'm learning every day with Trevor, I'm picking up obviously one or two things, and every day is a learning curve. First, as I say, I'm enjoying doing the goalkeeping. As I say, I'm just doing my UEFA badges with the FAI at the moment, and we'll see what happens. As I say, I'm extremely happy what it is. As I said, I've got a lot of learning still to do. And as I say, every day is massively important, and I learn every day going into with Trevor and Keith, and even with Craig with the 19s, etc. And I'm trying to do both outfield badges at the moment, so I've got my B licence done, and then I'm just halfway through completing my goalkeeping A licence. So everything seems to be going, I'm positive in how it's going, and we'll see where it takes me. I haven't really set on standards or sets of limits where I want to go, but as I say, at the moment I'm really, really happy and being part of the setup with Keith and Trevor and Boz. So we'll see where it takes me.
Chris, absolutely superb stuff. I think you deserve a pay rise personally for getting two goalkeepers into the Ireland squad, but look, we'll leave that up to Keith. Thanks for joining us, Chris, and we'll speak to you again soon.
No problem at all. Thanks very much, sir.
Okay, John, moving along. We've seen Cork City outclassed against the likes of Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers in recent weeks. They're away to St. Pat's. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, they're not the force that they were in the past couple of seasons, that's for sure. And, they're not too much has changed since Caulfield's gone, I once said. They had a little bit of a recovery, but, they still look way away from the top few teams. But tricky one, this, going to St. Pat's, where a little inconsistent, and certainly haven't done what we thought they would do at the start of the season.
No, but it's saying that they're in that pack in the middle of the table, that there's four or five teams in contention there for a top three or four finish. So yeah, if they can get any sort of consistency going, then they definitely have a chance of Europe. Obviously, they have Europe coming up thanks to a loophole. But I definitely agree with you. Things haven't gone as expected there. But as we say, if they want to get in Europe, surely this is a game they have to win at home.
Yeah, and they were a pretty, let's face it, they were pretty unlucky against Dundalk. I mean, they held out for so long, and then to such a scrappy goal to decide it. I think they'll bounce back. I think they'll have a little bit too much for Cork.
Yeah, I'm looking at the likes of Drennan up there. Obviously, you have the options of Gary Shaw. You just see a little bit more threat going forward with Pats than you would from Cork.
Yeah, still some concern the likes of Forrester hasn't hit the full stride.
Yeah, might take him a season or two.
Yeah, yeah, it's just taking him a lot. But look, I still think they'll beat Cork. And yeah, it's, I suppose from a Cork perspective...
From a Cork perspective, this is the sort of game where we've just both written them off there, and I'm sure most people will. They'll fancy Pats to win at home. Cork... We think they're out of contention for Europe. There's some people that think they might still have a sniff, but the pressure is almost off in these sort of games now. I'm wondering, can they go there and surprise us? But maybe in the dressing room, they have a silent confidence going on.
Yeah, I'm just not sure about who's scoring the goals for Cork now as well. Cummins.
Low on confidence.
Yeah.
Doesn't look the same player.
Yeah, and Shepherd's not the player he was a few seasons ago. I think... you know, he's definitely not what he used to be.
They've lost that Kieran Sadlier effect where a player can just ping it in from 25 yards, you know, and get 20 goals a season. So
it's flat down there, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. It's a shame, really, when you think where they have been the last few seasons to see them struggling like this. And I think a strong Cork's good for the league in general, Kieran.
Go on, give us a shout. So a prediction.
A home win, Kieran.
Okay, I'll follow you on that one. Yeah. Final fixture to preview this weekend on the show. Dundalk at home to Sligo Rovers. We seen this game on the opening night of the season. It was a draw on that occasion, and Sligo then beat Dundalk at the Showgrounds. So Dundalk with a point to prove here against a bit O'Red.
Yeah, do we think our friend Dante is going to be fit to play this one, Kieran?
Oh, well, I hope so. But yeah. You don't want to be rushing him back either if he's not fully right after that sickening clash of heads.
Yeah, well, look, Sligo certainly have the striker in form in Romeo Parks. A couple of great goals there at the weekend. It was a great result against Bowes. Obviously, they were helped by the red card. Mm. I don't think it would have finished 2-1 if Pender had been on the pitch. But they're coming up against an absolutely dominant Dundalk side at the moment, and I think they'll have too much for Sligo.
I think this will be a very tight one. Sligo have been so dogged this season. They're very well set up. I have to give Liam Buckley credit for that. They're a difficult team to break down. But as we've said on the show quite a bit, and Liam is admitting it himself in interviews, they're not playing the sort of attacking football that he would like going forward. So do I think Sligo can go to Ariel and win? No, I don't. Can they leave with a point? I definitely think they do. Or they can do, I should say. I'm going to go with a surprise one here. I think we might see a draw.
No, I can't see it, Kieran. I'd be very surprised if that was, possibly without Dante Leverock. Romeo Parks won't be given the space or the ability to run into space that he got against
Well, he played off the counter-attack against Bowes, and that's what they're going to have to do against Dundalk. The only thing is, if Dundalk get any sort of early lead in this one, it's curtains. So Sligo, the longer it goes, the more chance they'll have. I'm going to give them the shout just because they have a good record against Dundalk this season, and as I said, they're quite hard to break down, but I wouldn't be surprised, as you said, Dundalk have been so dominant if they ran out easy winners
in this
one.
Well, I'm going for a comfortable home win. You can go for your draw if you want, Kieran.
One man who'll definitely be looking for a home win on Friday night is the Dundalk FC defender Daniel Cleary, who joins us on the line now. So I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by Dundalk FC defender Dan Cleary. Dan, you're welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
How are you, lads? You all right?
So Dan, an impressive start to the season for Dundalk, and despite the immense competition for places in that team, you've played a large part of the season. You must be delighted with that overall, not to mention the team's performances so far.
Yeah, we had a tricky start to the season, but I think we've found a bit of form in the last 10 games, so I think we're on a bit of a run now of wins, and as you said, there's great competition in the squad, but it's all good.
And look, it's a huge opportunity now this Friday night against Sligo Rovers at home to create a gap at the top of the table after being behind for so long, as you said there. So I'm sure you're well up for this game now on Friday in what should be a packed out Oriel Park.
Yeah, it's a massive game for the squad, so it's coming up to the break as well, so we want to go unbeaten to the break and get as many points on the board as we can before the break.
Yeah, and of course Sligo frustrated Dundalk on the opening night of the season, not to mention that win in the Showgrounds when, as you said, Dundalk were just out of form at the time. So it's not going to be as easy as people think, is it?
No, definitely not. I think Sligo are on a bit of a showground for a couple of months ago, but as you said, we were out of form at that time, but we're coming into a good bit of form now, and I think there's more improvement in it, so we'll be looking forward to Friday.
Yeah, and it's quite a big match. You're going up against an informed striker in Romeo Parks. Got a couple of good goals there against Bohemians there at the weekend. You have to be on top of your game to deal with them at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. We are actually what's a bit of a match back from last week, so we're looking forward to the challenge every week against a new striker. So we're always up for the battle, and I'm sure it'll be a great game, and hopefully we get the crowd a good crowd in for Friday night.
So Dan, going back to the start of your career, you started in Liverpool, did you?
Yeah, I moved to Liverpool when I was 15. I spent 5-6 years there, and then moved on to Birmingham for a year and a half. I was at Birmingham as well, and then went to Dundalk after.
Yeah, a bit of a long spell as well at Solihull there in the conference. It'd been a bit different to being in Liverpool's academy, that one.
Yeah, definitely. It was an eye-opener to the real world. But it's all in a good experience. Like, you need to get these experiences into your career and realise what it's like. And I've learned from it, and I've learned from everything that I've done so far in my career. So it's all a part of the journey.
Yeah, and how did the move to Dundalk come about, Dan?
Literally 2 or 3 days before the season started, Stephen got in contact with my agent, and he said he was interested, so didn't have to ask me twice, so I just took my opportunity and grabbed it with both hands.
And would you have had much understanding of League of Ireland football at the time, Dan?
I've watched when I used to come home for the summers, I'd go and watch a couple of games here and there. I've watched some Dock before, and I would have watched the European run and stuff like that. So I would have known a few players in the league as well. So like Richie Towell, and I would have talked to Richie about the league and a bit of that. But I'd know quite a good bit about it.
And in saying that, has it still taken you by surprise just how high the standard is? And we don't even need to talk about the facilities there at Oriel Park in terms of players. We had John Gill on the show a couple of weeks ago. He was telling us about all the new facilities there, the gym, the video analysis room. It's just something we never dreamt of 20, 30 years ago in League of Ireland, maybe even 10 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. The standard is very high every week. Like, you can go and watch any team and players will stand out. Like, go and watch any team in the league, and there's always a couple of players on each team and they'll stand out to you. Like, it took me probably by surprise, but there's always, when you come up against a team each week, there's always dangerous players that you're playing against every week. So it's good experience, definitely. And the facilities in Dundalk are obviously a very high standard, and hopefully the rest of the league can follow in behind us, because it will raise the standard of the league and attract more players and bigger players and give the league a good name.
Yeah, and you're in quite one of the unique clubs. There's probably only one or two in the League of Ireland that the whole town really gets behind the club. And if you walk down the street at lunchtime, you won't see the kids wearing United or Liverpool jerseys. You'll see them in their local League of Ireland club, and the passion is just huge for Dundalk there. Are you based in Dundalk yourself during the week, Dan, or are you coming down from Dublin?
No, me and a few of the other lads travel up. It's only really an hour's drive, so it's not too bad. But definitely the fans up in Dundalk, they love it. They get right behind the team, and you walk down the road, down the town, and there's people in Dundalk jerseys everywhere. So definitely up in Dundalk, they definitely do get behind the team. You wouldn't see that much in much other clubs around the country, but definitely up in Dundalk, it stands out by more.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Dan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We want to wish you luck for the game on Friday night against Sligo, and thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks very much, lads. Thank you.
So, John, that brings us to the end of Season 3, Episode 14 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. We just want to put out an appeal to all of our listeners. If you're listening to this, let it be iTunes, let it be Spotify, please do hit the subscribe button or the follow button, whatever it may be. And if you can leave us a rating or a review on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening on, we really would appreciate that, because it's always great to get feedback on the show.
Yeah, it was a good show, Kieran. Another hour, an hour and a quarter. I don't know how we do it sometimes. Mm. But yeah, really good. Really enjoyed the interviews. And like Kieran said, if you enjoy what you're listening to, get the word out there for us.
Yeah, and finally, one thing we really would like to see over the next couple of shows, a little bit more interaction. We'd love to see our listener tweeting us or getting us on Facebook and just letting us know certain debates we're having here, what your views are on it. Maybe comments you've picked up in interviews with players. Let us know what you think. We're here to have debates on the league and try and promote the league, so we can't do that without fan interaction.
One thing we can't do is a live show though, Kieran, because the amount of outtakes we have is it's ridiculous some weeks. Yeah, so I'm amazed we actually get home some nights.
Yeah, we should bring the camera in here and do an end of season blooper show. It'd be a big hit. But look, final pointer in the direction of Between the Stripes TV on YouTube. There's a League of Ireland review show up there every weekend, interviews from across the league, and we usually have one of the top journalists or a well-known supporter on to run through all the weekend's results. So it's well worth a watch. You can find that on Between the Stripes TV on YouTube. And of course, all of our content, including the podcast, is available on betweenthestripes.ie. But like I said, please do drop us a couple of tweets, a couple of Facebook messages. Let us know you're listening. Let us know your thoughts. And until then, we'll speak to you next week. And come on, you Spurs! You're not happy with that, John, no?
I'm not impressed.
Come on, Spurs.
No, good luck at Champions League final. All right.
Thanks very much.
There you go. That's about as good as it
gets. See you next week, folks. Apart from Liverpool sports.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit betweenthestripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.